walking in the Spirit. I have several Bible studies that go along with this name, but I'm going to show you where you're at in your life in just a few short minutes here, because I think it's important that we understand the Lord has come to set us free, but we must receive that freedom. I mean, it's not something that just comes upon you. It's something that you must seek. You've got to learn to walk in the Spirit, which means put the things of God above the other things that you have done in your life, and to turn around and walk away from that stuff and walk towards the things of God. Now, it's like a lawbreaker. You know, there's a lot of people that are carnal Christians, that just meaning that they say they're Christ followers, but they're lying, they're not. And they have a fear of God's wrath, as they should. Because in the one case, they're saying they're Christians, and the very word means followers of Christ. But in their life actions and pursuits, they are actually following the lust of their flesh. The lust of life, the lust of the world. How many people know what I'm talking about today? You see, the word Christian is a word that means that you are Christ followers, which means you follow the Lord. Now, if you're living a life full of sin, then you've got to just be honest and say, I am not a Christian, although I do believe in God. Amen? Because there's a difference between a true Christian and one who believes in God. You know, the Bible says that the devils know Jesus and fear. But are they saved and are they Christians? And the answer is no. So you see, we must bring definition into our life on where we're at. Now, it says in Galatians 3, the last part of it, it says that when you are saved, the Lord will put you under tutors and guardians to show you the path, to teach you the path to the Lord. And during that time, sometimes it's almost like an impression. It feels like you're right under the thumb. Right? Why? Because that person is sitting there telling you, no, you can't do that no more. No, you got to stop that. No, you know that's not right. It's just like becoming a child all over again. And because we're not children, or to some degree we're not children, we are offended because that person has been assigned by God over our life to protect us from ourselves. But we don't perceive that spiritual truth. What we perceive is the truth that they are standing in the way between you and what you want to do. Right? But the spiritual truth is that person has been assigned over you to teach you how to walk in the way. You get it? And the day you truly become Spirit-filled and Spirit-led is the day that you truly become free. And free does not mean that you get to do whatever you want. Free means now you're on the path, now you're on the way, now you follow God, now you're a true follower of God, and now you are free because within the boundaries that God has set up for you, you soar like an eagle. Amen? Okay. Father, I just ask as I bring this word today, God, that every person in this room just receive it. That, Lord, it be right now that each person absolutely acknowledge that the word of God may not be easy, but it is always true and it's always for our benefit. And, Lord, help us to receive it and to walk in it so that we might bring you glory. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said, Amen. It says in verse 16, it says, and this is Paul, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, walking in the Spirit does not mean El Shaddai is falling on the ground. That is something that may happen to you, but walking in the Spirit means that you walk in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. You walk in submission to what He tells you to do in your life. Your life is now hidden in His. You get it? And you walk in the Spirit because now you've opened up this communication line, this relationship line with God, and you and Him walk together through life. You see, you have a life partner in God. God wants to walk with you in your life. But you're not going to lead Him, you see. You're supposed to follow Him, and that is the truth of walking in the Spirit. Amen? You know, it says that you do not know where you're even going. So if you aren't following Him, you are indeed blind. So you must get to the place in your life where you learn to submit and walk in the power and glory of God. And that only happens as you give your life to Him and walk in relationship with Him. It's up to you to develop that relationship. He is on. He is always there. He always wants to talk to you. He always tugs on your heart. He always says, hey, come over here. It's good over here. But you have got to learn to get that relationship going on where you listen, and instead of kicking at Him, you recognize how good He is, and you just make the decision to walk with Him. Are you hearing it now? That's the truth of a true, overcoming Christian's life. It means that you have forsaken the lust of what you used to do to be inhabited by the glory of what He is and what He can do with you. Amen? Help me, Lord. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. Do you understand me? It says that you are always in a battle until one side wins. Right? You are, most people in church are miserable. How many people have noticed that? They're miserable. Do you know why? Because they know what to do, but they will not do it. There's no victorious life in that. There's no joy in that. The fact is that you know what you're supposed to be about, but you'd rather take that temporary pleasure than go through the pain of the transformation process so that you might walk in the Spirit with God. Alright? So it says in 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, I'm going to give you some common sense right here. Now, I am an authority figure. I teach people how to walk in the Lord. Amen? Nobody likes to listen to me because I have a long list of rules, and if you mess with them, I jack you. Why? Because my job has been, I am assigned over you to teach you this truth. And until you take this truth and make it part of your life, me or somebody like you is always going to be right there keeping you in line. And nobody likes it. Nobody likes it. But if you quit being a lawbreaker, then of course you are no longer under the thumb of the law. You are free because you do the right things instead of the wrong things. Then we become brothers and sisters instead of the authority figure and the one that feels the oppression. Brother, you hardly let me breathe. Man, you're lucky God let you breathe this long to get saved. Amen. You better count your blessings that God is so merciful in your life. You know? Well, Brother Dominic, don't tell me that. That book was written for then, and this is now. Horse pucky. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He never changes. And let me tell you, there aren't no new sins under the sun. Everything you think that exemplified sin in your life was done thousands of years ago, because men without God are totally out of line. Always have been. They've always been murderers, started right out the gate with Adam and Eve's kids. Amen? And so has it been all the way through history. Man's inhumanity to men knows no boundaries. You get it? So everything you think is new isn't new at all. It's always been there since the beginning of when men got thrown out of the garden and we had to walk in this earth. Let me tell you something. We may have computers today, but they're still trying to figure out how they got the pyramids perfectly lined up north, south, east, and west. And that was 4,000 years ago they built them. And they can't figure out how it was that they built those pyramids because the blocks are so big and, you know, they fit together perfectly. Perfectly. Where they didn't need no kind of mortars nor cement. How did they do that? Well, you that are in discipleship know. Manpower, Bubba. Had a couple million Hebrew slaves running around for a while and they helped out. So my point is to you this, that the technology does not make men different. The year on the calendar does not make men different. Men's hearts have always been deceitful since Adam and Eve. And only with Christ centered in their hearts are they right. Amen? But you got to be transformed. You got to become this new creation. But I'm here saying that you are walking in the Spirit when you no longer need people telling you to do right. You just do right. Amen? You learn to walk in righteousness. Amen? The righteousness of God. You start to do right things with your life. Because you love God, because you develop that relationship, and because you know He is good. And when you were yet unlovable, He loved you. Amen? So let's go on. Let's define the works of the flesh. Now, for those of you, this is a very technical term. It really means what you want to do when you don't have God. Amen? This is our life before we meet God. And some of us, we met Him, kicked Him out, and went back to it too. Amen? It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which is adultery, which means that you are married to somebody besides the one you're sleeping with. Amen? Fornication, which means neither of you are married, but you're doing those things that are reserved for marriage. Right? Uncleanness, lewdness. Man, just a putrid mind. You think wrong, you think lustful, you think deceitful in everything in your mind. Amen? Unclean. Your thoughts are unclean. How many people know what I'm talking about? Whenever you start to think, bang, you're thinking wrong. That's unclean thoughts. Amen? Lewdness. Here, the only thing I can do is describe what I know and you'll have to forgive me. Hey, baby, you sure are fine. Those are lewd thoughts and lewd projections from the thoughts. They are trying to lead to other places, if you know what I mean. Amen? Amen. Idolatry. You worship a dollar. You worship a diamond. You worship a pagan idol. You worship your job. Some people worship their education level. Amen? It's idols before God. They are your God instead of God. Whatever you put before God is your idol. Sometimes it's your mate. You put them up above God in your life. Should not be so. God always needs to be first. Amen? Sorcery. Witchcraft. Spells. They're real. They're used all the time. I'm going to be going to a place where the Caribbean, right? And in the Caribbean, voodoo is big. Sorcery. Witchcraft. Praise the Lord. Lots of opportunity. I don't operate in fear. Amen? Okay, let's go on. Hatred. Come on now, let's talk about this a minute. You hate your own life sometimes. And you certainly hate almost everybody you meet in your life. And you hate everybody you used to know in your life. And you blame everybody for your life. Hatred. How could they have done that to me? Unforgiveness. Right? Contentions. Oh, yes. Let's talk about this. Argumentativeness. Always contending that you are right and everybody is wrong. Contention. Division. That's your flesh. That's why I tell people all the time, if you're a man or a woman of God, you don't sit around and argue about scriptures. Oh, please. That is flesh. That is not the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord would make a statement and then leave it there and then go around the corner and pray that the Spirit of the Lord bring truth to that person. They wouldn't stand there and argue with them and make them mad at you so they'll never listen to you again. That's your flesh having to prove yourself right. Right? Jealousies. Oh. Oh, yes. You should have got that award instead of so-and-so. You should have been recognized instead of so-and-so. Jealous. Amen? That's your flesh. That's not God. Outburst of wrath. Oh, boy, let's talk about this one for a minute. Throwing fits. Running around, kicking walls. Screaming at the top of your voice at people. That ain't God. That's you. Out of control one more time. Amen? You know, I've found in my life that the best thing I can do is be quiet. It makes more people mad at me than when I used to speak. What are you going to say? I got nothing to say. What do you mean you got nothing to say? Doesn't matter what I would say, I'm sure I'd be wrong. You understand? Best thing to do is what? Be quiet. Two sticks make a fire. You only got one stick, you just got a stick. But two sticks rubbing together, old Boy Scout trick, fire! I'm not providing no fuel for nobody. You want to go off? Go off. I'll watch. Not bad. Make you feel like the fool you look like. You understand? That's right. We'll have some more. You know what I'm talking about. You got to understand. You see, we're supposed to be peacemakers. So if you're stirring somebody up to their explosive, that ain't God. If you're feeding into that fire, that ain't God. That's you. Amen? Selfish ambitions. I know God wants me to do this, but I want me a Cadillac, so I got to go to job. Yeah, I'll miss a few Sundays. I might even miss a few Wednesdays. Matter of fact, I might have to take a year off church in general so I can have three jobs and make more money. Selfish ambitions. How many people in the church are doing it? Plenty. Plenty. They're selfish. Any gift you have is a God-given gift to be used for God. Amen? I'm not telling you can't make a living. I'm just telling you get your priorities right. Give to God what is God's. Period. And don't put yourself above Him in any way. Right? Dissensions. I make a statement. I go through this. I teach on the Word of God, and somebody walks out the room and goes, "That ain't right. That guy ain't right. There's no way that guy's right." Dissension. Creating dissension. Amen? Part of the flesh. Are you getting this? Heresies. What is heresy? False statements about things of God. Right? False statements about things of God. That's like, I will tell you that the Bible says this and I'll read it to you. And you'll come back and say, it didn't mean that. No. Whatever this book says, this book means. You can't argue with it. And if you pronounce it to your flavor, you are a heretic. And you are pronouncing heresy. Amen? Did you get that? That's what it means. It means that you're telling people your version instead of God's version. False statement about the things of God. Can't have it. Can't have it. Envy. Oh, yeah, this is a biggie. Well, how come he got a lollipop and I didn't? Well, how come he got two and I only got one? I'm in first base. I only got three plates. That guy got four. How come he got all the corn dogs? It's just practical. You understand, the Bible is practical. It's talking to practical things in your life. You see, the little things always are the tip of what the big thing is that is hidden. You got to address the little things in your life and recognize them. Well, envy, well, you know, what does that mean? It means that maybe you think you should be as good looking as so-and-so. Or maybe you're even thinking that so-and-so shouldn't be good looking at all and you should be good looking. It's all the same thing in a different boat. Amen? Envy. Murder. Shedding of innocent blood. Right? Drunkenness. Revelries. Party! Oh no, that's not God. I don't care if you were out there on the rock pipe acting like a preacher, making everybody mad at you. That wasn't God. That was them drugs in your system and that alcohol and stuff. Huh? Come on now. I love it. You know, I don't drink nothing. I don't smoke nothing. I don't want to do nothing. Right? Why? Because I got the real high. I got the real thing. I ain't got to have no cheap imitation in my life. When are you going to get tired of that cheap crap and get the real thing? When? Because if you ever get it, you don't want to turn it loose. Right? It says, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What does it mean? If you live this lifestyle, I don't care if you say you're saved or not, you're going to go to hell. I'm sorry. That's what the Bible says. It says, it doesn't say if you make a mistake. You understand? And it doesn't say that if you turn away and walk a new direction, that it won't be okay. It just says that if your clock stops ticking in the middle of that lifestyle, then you got judgment day to look forward to. So I tell all you guys, man, hey, you know what? You're really blowing it. You go back out there and live this life again, especially knowing the truth. You know, you got to quit. Because now that you know the truth, you're responsible for the truth. That's worse than being ignorant. You see, people, you got to read the Bible. I'm talking about the evidence of your flesh. It's right here. But listen now. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Show me some love in this place. Sometimes I look at your faces, man, they're so sour looking and stuff. I'm wondering if you got any love in you yet. I'm giving you all I got. You got to give me back some now and then. You know what I mean? Love just flows. When you get the love of Jesus in you, it flows up out of you. Amen. You can be nice to people that you never would even talk to. Because that's the love of God. Amen. And the love of God overcomes a multitude of sins. Amen. So as you get closer to God, you get love. Here's another one. You get joy. Joy unspeakable. I get up in the morning sometimes, I don't feel like it. So in those moments, I jump up and down and I preach myself happy. You got to learn to preach to yourself. Amen. I preach myself happy. I want that joy in my life. I know I can have it. I don't got to do dope or alcohol or run around and act stupid. I can get it. The source is Him. And I just got to go to Him and I can have it. Walking in spirit instead of doing wrong things for that stuff, doing the right things for that stuff. You get it? You're frustrated, you're mad, you can be like everybody else and walk out of here and go back to your old stuff, but you're just going to stay frustrated and mad, or you can get the real thing. And when you get the real thing, you're going to get over that frustration and stuff. It's not going to happen overnight, but it's going to happen if you stay at it. Amen? So love, joy, peace. To be at peace in the middle of a storm is the biggest blessing that I can tell you about. As you're going through the fire and everything around you is on high whoosh, you know, whoosh, and you're just sizzling. Oh. You know what I mean? That's real. But you can be at peace in the middle of it if you walk hand in hand with God through life. See, that's what I'm talking about. There's a, you know, this walking in the Spirit. Let me tell you something. It is not just El Shaddaying and falling on the ground. Because I know tongue-talking people that are miserable because when they're at church, they do okay. But when they're on the street, they're like everybody else. That ain't the power that I'm talking about. The power comes when you are in His love, in the Spirit, walking with Him in life. That is the power of His love, that He will take you through everything and you will not be burned or smell the smoke. But you're going to go through it just like everybody else. You ain't getting out of nothing. There are things that everybody's going to go through that are common to men. But God will take you through. There's things that go on in our lives that we cannot do nothing about. But God will take you through. That's why you got to learn to walk in His Spirit so that you can have an abundant life. Amen? Long-suffering. You know what? Let me tell you, I could preach about 8 hours on this straight. Example after example after example of some of the stuff people have put me through. But I don't want to. Because to me, it's something I did for Jesus, so nobody owes me nothing, and compared to what Jesus did for me, it doesn't matter at all. Why do I long suffer with people? Because God long suffers with me. Just like that. He puts up with me. I put up with you because of the love of God that is in me. Right? The fact that He's put up with me gives you the right to expect me to long suffer with you as long as your heart is to do right and not to do wrong. I will not play with a person that has a pitiful heart condition. Amen? If your heart is to try to gain me, then I'm going to go straight street on you and give you El Budo out of here. Amen? But if you really want to change, then you are in the right place and I'm going to long suffer with you and just keep telling you and keep working with you until you get on track. You hear the difference? Why? Because God puts up with me, so of course I'll put up with everybody that was like-hearted. I was a hard case. You understand? So if you're a hard case, don't worry about it. Just make sure your heart is right. Amen? And if your heart is right, then we'll work through it. But if your heart ain't right, I can't do nothing about it. Only you can give your heart to God and mean it. Right? That's your job. Now, I can help you to learn the rest of the things, but the fact is, I can't change your heart. Amen? Kindness. Ah, yes, you got 2 shirts, your brother has none. Wouldn't it be kind of you to let him have a shirt? Or would it be better for you to just have a closet full that you can't wear all at once anyway? Be kind to each other. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit, is being kind. Goodness. To be good instead of bad. What does goodness mean, Dominic? To do good things instead of wicked things. Amen? When? Consistently. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Is you don't let yourself do that mess no more. You make yourself stay right. Because the fruit of the Spirit of the God is inside of you, helping you to do those things, right? Faithfulness. Oh, let's hang out here a while. And who will be found faithful on that day that He comes back? Who will be found faithful? You know, you need to be faithful in the little things so that you can get bigger things, right? You need to be faithful in the things of God. You need to be about the things of God. Being faithful is a big thing that you're going to see in a person that really has the fruit of the Spirit active in their life. No matter what goes on, they don't come up and give you excuses or nothing. They perform. You know what I mean? They do what they're supposed to do. When people need them, they're there. You get it? Being faithful is one of the biggest fruit that you've got to have in your life. Amen? What does that mean? When it gets tough, you don't put on your running shoes and run away. You hang out and go all the way through. Right? Gentleness. How gentle are you? It's a question. Are you of a gentle spirit? What does that mean? Not offensive. You know, to those that don't know nothing, are you one that presents yourself in the meekness of God? Right? Or are you one that just barks all the time? And everybody looks at me and they go, well, you bark all the time. Look, you guys are saved. I'm trying to teach you something. Amen? I'm not your pushover. That's what I'm teaching you first thing. Right? I have a lot of kids. Look around. They're up, they're down, they're everywhere. You know what I mean? I've got to have order in this house. I can't have 80 people running amok, doing what they want to do. I won't tolerate it. Why? Because there is no way to learn in chaos. My God is not a God of chaos. If you want chaos, then go serve your God, the devil, out there. You know what I mean? Am I going to bark? Yeah. Because until you get the fruit of the Spirit planted in your life, you need correction, instruction, and reproof until you get a hold of what it is I'm trying to get you to get a hold of. Right? When Jesus rules your life, we're brothers. Until then, if I got to tell you, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't, then I'm just gonna. It isn't because I wanna. I really wish I had a recorder. I'd have about 100, 200 things on there, and I'd just push a button all day. My binoculars, I'd watch and I go, number 7. Number 12. Maybe my voice wouldn't sound like it does today. You know what I mean? Don't you think I get tired of saying the same things all the time? You understand? But it's my job. It's part of being faithful. Right? You got to learn to be faithful. And the last one is self-control. You know, people, everything in your life in Christ rests on your ability to control yourself. You can serve God for 10 years. Right? Be doing good. And then you just quit praying for a while. You quit doing the things that you used to do, that you know you're supposed to do for a while. And it's inevitable one day you'll blow it bad. And you know, God will slowly, as you grow in the Lord, He'll elevate you from glory to glory to glory, give you more responsibility, give you more purpose in your life, give you more revelation of what He wants for your life. But you know, the sad thing is that when you blow it, you start again. You know what? Your self-control can cost you a ministry. Your lack of it. There's guys out there that couldn't keep their pants on, and as a consequence, they went all the way to the bottom, and although they're trying to get back to where they were, I've never seen anybody make it. Doesn't mean that God don't use them again, because He uses them, because He'll reuse anybody. But it means that, you see, as you grow in grace and mercy in God, that He entrusts you with things, and with that becomes a place where you got to understand that you have to be responsible, because other people are watching you. Amen? They are learning from you. So if you go and blow it, and all these thousands of people get hurt because you blow it, God is not going to trust you with the same ministry that you had before, because you've shown yourself to be lacking self-control and unfaithful at a time when you should be most faithful. Do you understand? You see, people, I want you to understand that this is how you will know if you're walking in the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to break it down to you right now very simply, the way it is written. Is walking in the Spirit means that you consistently follow Jesus. Consistently. What does that mean? He's your life. You follow Him. Amen? It doesn't mean all that high spiritual stuff, falling down, kicking off, although that can all be a part of your life. You understand? I don't want to deny the power of God. I'm not denying the power of God. Amen? But I want you to know that that is not walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means that you submit your life to God and you follow Him with your life. Amen?
Amen.
Now, walking in the flesh means that you consistently serve yourself. How many people can see the sense in that? You see, I'm just trying to make it relatable to you. I don't want you to think that walking in the Spirit is an impossible task. It's not. Step by step by step, level by level by level, God will take you out of wherever you've been and take you to where He wants you to go. It's not an overnight thing. You don't just get a bang whammy kind of thing. I mean, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and, God didn't take away my cusser or nothing. I had to work on those things. Still working on those things. Amen? And I'm telling you that I was very disappointed because people misled me in their teachings, and I thought that if I could get baptized in the Holy Spirit, that bang, I was going to walk in the power of God and everything was going to be wonderful, and that was a bunch of hokey. Because I still had a lot of areas in my life that I had to get cleaned up. I had to have a lot of areas in my life that God had to take and walk me through and wash me up. So what I'm trying to tell you today is if you want to know where you're at, you can do it all by looking at 5:19 through 22 or so. It's going to tell you what you need to know. It's going to tell you when you're going to know you're serving yourself, the flesh. And when you're going to know you're serving God. If you notice, there's a whole lot longer list on that serving the flesh side than there is that walking in the Spirit side. Amen? Why? Because we all have a tendency with our minds to play games with ourselves. Well, this is kind of okay. This is a class B sin. That's not so bad. We're all used to getting locked up, going to court and trials and all that, you know. You got class A, class B, class C misdemeanors. You got felonies, you know, grievous assault with deadly weapon. I mean, you got all that stuff. But in the end, what God is doing is He's showing you, okay, this is who you used to be. And now that you've met Me, these are the things that you can have to be with Me. You see, but you've got to make a decision that you want to walk in the Spirit, which means that you want to walk in submission to God. And there is no easy way. It is a day by day dying to the things that you used to do. Day by day by day, you know, you got to pray a lot. A lot. They say unceasingly. And I know when I got saved, that wasn't enough. You know what I mean? But I'm here to tell you that God will enable you. But you've got to get honest with yourself. You know what? You know, we really need to just address the issues in our life, and God will identify them one by one as we walk through life. Amen? But you need to take and identify them, and you need to let God work on them. And you've got to stay away from those things that are wrong and really work on those things that are right. You got to learn that goodness thing, to be good continuously, steadfastly, faithfully. Amen? I'm going to tell you right now that the most miserable person on earth is a person who knows God but does not serve Him. There is no more miserable person on earth. And the happiest person on earth are those that know Him and serve Him. To me, it's a very simplistic choice. Well, you know what I mean? Like, I go up and, hey, you want to be happy? Serve God. There's your answer. Just like that. Amen? And when you serve God, the fruit of the Spirit comes out in your life changes, and it's all good. You understand? But if you're not serving God, you're serving yourself. And that's when the flesh interrupts whatever God wants to do in your life. You know, just make a decision, people. And then just make sure you live with that decision. I love the Lord, and He's ready to help every one of you to fulfill your destiny. But you're not going to do it in yourself. Amen? Amen? Father, I love You, God. And God, I just ask today that they get this into their spirit, that they learn the truth, that You are ready and willing to help all of us to do these things if we would. And Lord, let it be today that we grab a hold of it and run with it. The fact is, we can all walk in the Spirit, God. It's going to take time. It's going to take new legs, new muscles, those kinds of things, Lord. But You are able. And God, I just ask that every person makes that decision to walk in the Spirit and forsake the things of the flesh so that they might have happiness in their life, God. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.